that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Scott Woodward is the analyst.
Thanks, matey. Beep, 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 beep.
Always think of in a TV show, The Equalizer, with that. Anyway, we've got our man, the analyst. He's on the line. He's a regular on a Tuesday. I tell you what, he was a topic of conversation yesterday. As I bring him in today, hello, analyst. Have you run at Jake Trbojevic, or indeed has Jake run at you? Good morning.
I'd be more than happy to just be in the same room with Jake. He's a wonderful player and obviously a great human. I'd love to meet him someday. I just think he's done very well with the salary that he gets, but he's a very big part of Manly who look to have a very good season in front of them.
Don't they? Very exciting about that on the back of the bye for week two. One of the things that is a feature, and this, I'm looking at the NRL casualty ward, and I'm looking at the West Tigers, I'm looking at the Newcastle Knights. For the Knights, for example, no Kalyn Ponga, no Jaden Brayley, no Tyson Frizzell, we presume, no Jacob Sifita, we know, no Jack Johns, no Adam Elliott, no Kurt Mann. The West Tigers have their own issues too with injury and suspension, but lots of carnage, as we mentioned. Who's done well out of this? Who are the ones that have been most disadvantaged?
Well, Jimmy, look, I have never seen an NRL competition disrupted with such an unprecedented list of injuries, HIA suspensions, etc., that we've got at the moment. This scenario makes it impossible to accurately project at any level of confidence who will like win future matches, make the top eight, and even be the premiers. So, look, given all that information and intel that we have available to us, without going into injuries as everybody's been doing, I'm prepared to say that I expect the Broncos to be leading the comp after seven rounds. I expect the Cowboys should win their next six games. That will put them right up near the top. The Rabbitohs have a good draw. They should win the next five games, and the Sharks should win their next four games. Now, the teams that will likely do it tough are the Eels. They are favoured to lose their next three games, which will make it five in a row. That's unprecedented that I can think of. Raiders also are doing it tough at the moment. They're struggling with key positional players. And they look like they will lose their next two games, which will mean that they've lost now four games in a row. So it's all over the place, and it's changing on a week basis, Jimmy.
Yeah. Just on that, this is interesting too, because you're using, okay, who they're playing, how that team is playing, what players are available, who's coming back. So all of those go into the mix, into the algorithm on this one. In saying that, I talked about it yesterday, but you actually thought that the Bulldogs were a big chance against the Melbourne Storm. Most others, including the market, didn't. So explain that one, analyst.
Look, it's all to do with personnel. Look, I was talking to the recruitment manager, Paul Bunn, at the Storm yesterday, and he was telling me that they're down 12 players. That's more than a third of their list. So I did the ratings on the 17 that they were going to play against us. And bear in mind, the Bulldogs were down four middles, and they've also got some key positional player issues at the moment as well. So we're a long way from our best team. But that said, I still rated our team better than the Melbourne Storm, given the players that they brought in, only just. But I certainly didn't expect to be 26-0. At half time, I certainly didn't expect that. The coach did a wonderful job getting the boys up, and there's a lot of confidence about the club at the moment.
Yeah, great place, understandably, to be. Absolutely. Understandably, on the back of a win like that, you can forget about week one very quickly, analyst. I would have thought on the back of that. Hey, just with all of that stuff that you're talking about there, in regards to what the next little bit looks like for teams, if we start going to a futures market. I'm looking at the team here, least wins. So a change in the market there on the back of the Dolphins. They're now out to $9. I'm looking at topsport.com.au. But a new favourite has emerged, analyst.
Yeah, Jimmy, look, they've gone from $2.80 out to $9, which is massive, and it's fantastic on the back of the two wins. And let me say, they are odds on to make it three wins in a row. They are odds on to win on the weekend against a depleted Knights team. So that'll be just amazing. That said, it's a 27-round competition, and it's a very long competition. And I was talking to their recruitment manager, Peter O'Sullivan, who's done such a wonderful job there. And I still think they're a chance to be the wooden spooners, despite the fact that they look like winning their first three games. It's a long season. They will struggle for depth later in the season. So we'll just monitor that. At the moment, though, the market have got the likely wooden spooners, West Tigers and the Knights. I don't know about the Knights. They would have to lose Ponga for the season for that to be the case. They're around $4, both those two teams. So that's pretty interesting.
Speculation around Caelan Ponga and when he'll return obviously is at the top of a lot of people's conversation piece at the moment. We make a presumption that he's available for Queensland for State of Origin, and he's automatically picked on the back of what he did last season in that State of Origin series. Absolutely amazing. But let's make an assumption that he's not. Where are the Queensland selectors, Billy Slater in particular, where are they looking right now?
Just say he is available. Billy's biggest challenge is to find a way to fit in both Caelan Ponga and Reece Walsh. How does he get them into the 17? It's very difficult to leave one of them out. They're both out-and-out stars. Reece Walsh's game last week with the ball was as good as you'd ever want to see. Now that said, he had two try causes, and he does have a lot of negatives in his game, and he's only young, and it's because he goes 100 miles an hour at everything he does. So that is an issue. He's not the world's safest player, but with the ball, he is amazing. So if it would mean that Caelan Ponga, if Newcastle keep persisting with him playing at six, he would have to go from 6 to 1, and that's not an easy thing to do. Cameron Munster has done that for Queensland in previous years. Valentine Holmes has gone from a wing position to play fullback for Queensland. Selwyn Cobbo can play fullback. He hasn't done it for Queensland, but he's played on the wing. And, of course, we've got Alexander Brimson, who has also played fullback for Queensland. So they've got quite an array to choose from. But if all players are fitting well, there'd be a struck match between Caelan Ponga and Reece Walsh, based on what we know of their best runnings and what form they're in. So I think it's going to come down to a couple of weeks before selection time, which is in about 10 weeks.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. So let's make an assumption. Ponga there and plays because he did so well last year. They reward loyalty. They like that, the Queenslanders.
Yeah.
So Munster's 6, obviously. DCE is 7. Harry Grant's 9. So you've got Reece Walsh, Ben Hunt's in there for sure as a number 14, might even start, depending what they do with Harry. So very hard, as you say, to squeeze Reece Walsh
impossible.
In. You can't get him in. Yeah. You can't get him in.
Let me say, I asked the great Gus on the weekend who would be your Maroon fullback, and he said Reece Walsh. So
wow.
That's okay. Yeah, and he was what, I mean, I was WhatsApping him during the Broncos game, so he was very impressed, let me say, as okay. We all were. He's going great.
No doubt about it. I'd imagine there would have been a little bit of a delight for you once you saw that Isaiah Papali'i was on the charge sheet late yesterday.
I don't ever like to see wonderful players like him not playing. The game needs players like him to play, so... I would have been more than happy for him to play. It's going to be a great game. The bounce back factor is massive for West Tigers, and I'm sure you'll see the real West Tigers on the weekend. So looking forward to a great weekend, all grades actually. So the Bulldogs won it every game, every competition on the weekend, all by big margins. So it was a wonderful, wonderful day for the club. As I said, there's spring in the step at the moment, and all's good ahead. Jimmy, I'd just like to say, we just talked about the Melbourne Storm and they've got 12 injuries at the moment. Yes. I'm very keen to see team list Tuesday. I know that Craig Bellamy will try and rush Tarek Sims back into the side. They lack that Tarek Sims grunt in the team on the weekend, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the side this afternoon. And I expect him to play in the middle and not on the edge. They've also got a wonderful young fullback called Farlogo, who last weekend he ran 269 metres and scored two tries against an outstanding Cowboys Cup side. So they have got a bit of talent that's available to be selected this week. Also Jonah Pessett, who is a six, who will be eligible. He got a try in flag on the weekend. And they chose to play Tyrone Wishart at six last week, and I think he missed 9 or 10 tackles. So you might see a different look Storm side on the weekend. So I haven't quite given up on them yet. While we're on that, they've got a young gun called Lazarus Valapu, and he ran 147 metres from his 12 runs on the weekend. So there's a bit of talent to come. So all's not lost for the Melbourne Storm.
Ah, sub-editor's dream there, isn't he, Lazarus? Sua Fa'alongo is the player you're talking about. Yeah, he had that stormer against the Roosters in the trial game, the preseason challenge, didn't he? Xavier Coates, Tom Eisenhuth and Tarek Sims listed to come back in round three. George Jennings, Cam Munster, round four. Yep. Then they start coming. Tui Kamikamitha, Tepai Mooroa, and Justin Olam, round six. But we still don't know Ryan Pappenhausen. Big question mark on his return there.
No, we don't. But don't underestimate Falogo. We saw him in the trial. He did around 250 metres. He did 269 on the weekend. He's a very, very special kid. So Craig is noted for not rushing young players in. But he's in a situation where he probably doesn't have a choice. He can't go through what he went through last weekend. It's the worst performance I've ever seen from a Melbourne Storm team. And I know you talk about a bounce back factor. I think we can count on that this weekend.
Okay, all right, interesting. And just going back to the point you made around the great performances for the Bulldogs in the lower grades, what a great tick of approval for the talent identification people out there at Belmore.
Yes, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, I've got a lot of help. There's some very good people out there headed up by Peter Sharp and not to mention Adam Hardigan and Cedar. So we've got some great guys there. They're very, very talented. They spend a lot of time on a plane trying to turn over every stone to make sure that we maximise our list. And more importantly, they're signed at the right price. So we can maximise our list. So, yeah, things look really good for this year. They look even better for next year and the year after that. So Gus has given the club a real future, which is what he was put there to do. Pleasure to work with him.
Yeah, gee, very humble of you, analyst. You're not like that when I call you off air, but anyway. Thanks,
you,
analyst.
That's all I've got. Out. Beep, 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 beep.